Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our final Anchored in the Word morning reflection and looking forward to a great weekend. And if you are a part of our church family, we are looking forward to a very special service. This will be our 50th anniversary as a church, and the service itself is going to be mostly a normal service, but we will have some memorabilia from the church's history, and we'll have a special meal afterwards. So we're really looking forward to a great weekend. And can't wait to just be able to open the Word of God and dig into a text of Scripture that's going to be so encouraging. And our greatest desire is that God will be exalted this weekend as we reflect on the fact that He's been very kind to our church. And we're thankful that through the high points and the low points, He has always, always been faithful. And we're the recipients of those blessings and His grace. The text in front of us is about prayer, and I really like where we're going to end here. Because I think that this is the high point of the whole piece that we're looking at on prayer. So here's what it says, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. It says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for I have a friend of mine in his journey. He has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, yet as a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now, this week we've talked about the fact that prayer is supposed to be persistent, and prayer is supposed to be with an understanding of God's good character. And there are two parables that we have analyzed in this passage of scripture. And we've seen that prayer is supposed to be just a normal part of our human experience, our walk with God. It's a part of having a healthy fellowship with God. The last thing we're going to see is that prayer should cause us to long for his personal presence. And the way that it's stated in verse 13 is very important. It says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now, he's making a comparison here. He's talking about all the different things that we could potentially be praying for. And he basically says, if we ask and we seek and we knock, God answers. And he answers by giving us good things because he's good. And so we must persist. We must understand his goodness. But he says, how much more, higher than all those things, is this one particular blessing? And that particular blessing is not a thing, it's a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit. And this is an important thing for us to keep in mind as we talk about prayer. Prayer is not a formula that just gives us all the material stuff that we want. We just plug in the details and we get what we want. Prayer is not just about alleviating all of our suffering and our pain and our misery in life. Now, God many times does alleviate those things to some extent, and he does answer our prayer by giving us many good things. But that's really not what's the most important thing. Prayer, more than anything, is an invitation into the presence of God. We, as his children, are privileged and invited to come into his presence. I think of what it says in Hebrews. It says that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is entering into the presence of God himself. And that it's important for us to understand when we are praying what we are actually doing. When we are praying to our Father. We don't pray to the Son, and we don't pray to the Spirit. When Jesus taught them to pray, he said, "Pray our Father." And we're coming to him because we have a relationship. But there's a second piece that's very important. We come to him as our Father, but we come to him by the Son, or through the Son. Our access to the presence of the Father is because of the redemptive work of Christ. It's because he has made a way for us to come into the presence of the Father. We are forgiven. We are righteous in Christ. He receives us because he receives his Son. He accepts us in the Beloved because we are in Christ. And so in 1 Timothy 2:5, he says, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we pray to the Father through the Son. But there's a third piece. The triune God is not just Father and Son. He's Father, Son, and Spirit. That third person of the Godhead is the one who is to shape the way that we pray. He's the one who's supposed to press our hearts, to motivate us, to bring us into the presence of the Father through the Son with certain kinds of requests. Requests that are shaped by his work in our hearts. And so in Ephesians 6:18, it says that we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication. And then he makes a little statement, in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who's to motivate those prayers, to guide those prayers, to stir up in our heart a passion and a persistency to take these things to God's throne room. And he even talks about how there are times when we are unable to even get our requests to God, like to even verbalize it, I guess is the way I'd put it. In Romans 8:26, he says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The idea is that the Spirit enables us, sometimes even prays for us, when we don't know what to pray for. And so when we talk about prayer, prayer is as access to God himself, to the Father, through the Son, empowered by the Spirit. And so this reference to the Holy Spirit is a very important reference at the end of the statement. But this reference to the Spirit has to be considered in the light of where we read this in relation to redemptive history. These statements are made before the cross, before the resurrection, before the giving of the Spirit at Pentecost. And whenever the scriptures talk about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, on the Old Testament side of the cross, it refers to the Spirit's ministry different than the way that the Spirit's ministry is functioning in the New Testament. Now, we're not saying that the Holy Spirit didn't exist in the Old Testament, but he does in the New. No. His relationship to the saints is distinct in the New Testament to that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he never indwelled people permanently like he does in the New Testament. He did come upon people. He empowered them for service. He anointed them to do the work of the ministry. For instance, David and Solomon and the prophets, people like that. But the Holy Spirit's relationship to the Old Testament saint was different than the New Testament saint. It was always given in the sense of promise. Like in John 16:7, it says, "It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Or in Acts 1, it says that Christ commanded them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, where they heard, "John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence." Notice that these are in term of promise. He's coming. So when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in this context, he's saying God's going to give you this Spirit. But this is not a time in history where the Spirit indwells permanently the saints and that they receive him immediately, as it will be after Pentecost. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, we see how it works today. In verse 12, he says, In whom, being Christ, you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells the believer on this side of the cross, the resurrection, and Pentecost. And so when Jesus talks about the gift of the Spirit coming, he's talking about the blessing that New Testament Christians will experience with the personal presence of God indwelling them in the person of the Holy Spirit. That person of the Godhead literally indwells every Christian. And so the Holy Spirit draws us to the Father by awakening us to our lost condition, convincing us of who Christ is and why we needed to be saved from our sins and the necessity of the redemptive work. He regenerates us when we've believed on Christ. He places us into the body of Christ. He indwells us at that moment of salvation. He stamps us as God's eternal possession. And he empowers and he encourages us and he gives us wisdom and he convicts us as the Comforter. And so in the end of this passage of Scripture where he talks about the giving of the Spirit as a future blessing, he's saying that prayer should cause us to long to have the personal presence of God with us. You say, well, what can we take away from this whole study this week? Let me give you some final thoughts to consider. The first is this. We need to be a praying people. If we're not, there's a problem, a serious problem. And I want to encourage you, when you hear this this discussion this week, if you are not a praying person, I would encourage you to ask, why am I not a praying person? What is going on internally? Second is this. When we pray, we need to make sure that we pray with a fervency and a persistence. But thirdly, we need to recognize that this fervency and persistence should never be motivated by some misguided view of God's character. Like we can somehow shame him into answering our prayers, or we can motivate him because he's reluctant, or maybe he wants to give us something that's not so good, but we can convince him to give us something good. That should never be the mindset that motivates us to be fervent and persistent. And then lastly, as we pray, we should never forget that God will answer according to his perfect goodness. It will be shaped by his infinite wisdom, and it will also be motivated by his tender love for us. May God help us to be a praying people, and may this text of Scripture encourage us as we go into the weekend. Have a blessed rest of your day, and Lord willing, we'll see many of you on Friday. Bye now.